Radio Prague News.
A bill on electronic cash registers has been passed in the lower house. Part of it so prisoners are out of danger. And in football, a Czech-Slovak cup clash is agreed. One of the flagship measures of Minister of Finance and ANO leader Andrej Babiš has been passed by the lower house of parliament. The proposal on electronic cash registers, which would become obligatory for nearly all transactions, was passed after most opposition members from the centre-right Civic Democrats and Topo 9 quit the chamber in protest. The move has been held up by stalling tactics for much of the last year by the opposition. They say the proposal amounts to a flawed extra burden on small business. The government argues it will dramatically curb tax evasion and the grey economy. The Civic Democrats say they will challenge the government proposal and the way it was pushed through Parliament at the Constitutional Court. The proposal now heads to the Senate and for final signing by the President. Around eight prisoners from Pardubice prison who were taken to hospital in a serious condition on Tuesday night are now out of danger, according to a hospital spokesman. The eight, as well as three others, were found in a serious state after apparently overdosing at the prison on a drug used to treat irregular heartbeats. The prison says the circumstances surrounding the incident are not clear and are being investigated. Pardubice prison hosts around 700 prisoners. A deal paving the way for a clash between Czech and Slovak football clubs at the end of this season is ready to be signed, the head of the Czech Football Association, Miroslav Pelter, announced on Wednesday. The clash should take place at the end of the season between the cup-winning clubs from each country. Pelter said full details would be unveiled in May. Associations in both countries have been seeking ways of boosting their cooperation, sundered by the split of former Czechoslovakia in 1993. Brno Regional Court has declared the Jihlava-based diesel engine and auto parts producer Motopal unable to meet its debts. The company is a major player on world markets and employs around 1,300 in Jihlava and more at other plants in the Czech Republic. It's a player on the market for fuel injection systems for diesel engines. A restructuring plan, which was reported to have the backing of most of the banks and companies owed money, was not accepted by the court. Motopal is reported to owe around 800 million crowns. Its annual turnover in 2014 was around 1.3 billion. Around 15% of Czech elderly people are faced with poverty, a survey commissioned by the Czech Statistical Office has reported. It found those living on their own in old age, mostly women, are particularly vulnerable to hardship, with around 75,000 elderly people falling into the poverty trap. Poverty is defined as having less than 60% of the average monthly income. And finally, the Ukrainian ambassador in Prague has complained about the publication of a Czech map showing Crimea as part of Russia, according to a local news agency in Kiev. The offending map forms part of an atlas of world football published by the Otovo Publishing House last autumn. The ambassador has pointed out Prague's official stance that Crimea has been illegally annexed, and he reportedly called for the book to be withdrawn or corrected. The publisher has said the offending map was the result of human error. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Republic is involved in the training of Iraqi pilots and a rare American coin goes on display in Prague. Later on in Marketplace, the Czech trade agency shares the credit for booming export figures. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The first group of Iraqi pilots has completed training on L-159 fighter jets at manufacturer Aerovodochody. Iraq has bought 15 of the planes, which were surplus for the Czech Air Force for training purposes and missions. So far, Iraq has received only two of the aircraft. Great Britain has so far blocked the remainder of the delivery over fears that certain technology could fall into the wrong hands. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Four Iraqi pilots successfully wrapped up training this week on the Czech-built L-159 fighter jets, and a second group will begin training soon. General Faris Hassan Fallah, the deputy commander of the Iraqi Air Force, confirmed. Speaking to Czech TV, the general explained the importance of the planes for Iraqi forces, describing them as a stepping stone for more advanced training on American F-16s. He also outlined their importance in flight missions against Daesh, the terrorist organization controlling large parts of Iraq and Syria.
This is going to cover the gap between the basic training and the advanced training on the F-16, and also supported the mission and conduct a lot of mission against Daesh.
The supply of more planes was blocked by Great Britain over the danger that the British radar early warning system with which the planes are fitted could fall into terrorist hands. All the same, on an official visit to Prague in January, British Prime Minister David Cameron promised his government's help.
On the issue of the aeroplane, but Britain and the Czech Republic both have a shared desire to combat Daesh and to help the Iraqi government with its armed forces. So anything we can do to help the Czechs in the work they're doing, we should do. And so that's why we've been able to take action on this aeroplane. I think that is an important shared objective for both our countries.
Czech Defense Minister Martin Stropnický has expressed the conviction any obstacles will be overcome. Meanwhile, the ground is now set for that second team of Iraqi pilots to begin training. In all, under the existing deal, Iraq should eventually receive 12 flight-ready planes. Aero Vodochody is providing training not only for the pilots, but also for ground crew and service personnel. An additional 2 planes bought will be refitted to make room for 2 pilots, while a final aircraft is being provided for spare parts.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Moving on now, an extremely rare and valuable silver coin dating back to the founding of the United States has gone on display in Prague's National Museum. The so-called flowing hair silver dollar is on a 4-day stopover in Prague as part of a wider European tour. Dominic Yoon has more.
The coin, which dates back to the year 1794 and the presidency of George Washington, represents the first formal manifestation of US currency following the establishment of the United States Mint 2 years earlier. It has a diameter of 4 centimeters, weighs 27 grams, and is 90% silver and 10% copper. On one side is a depiction of the goddess Liberty, hair flowing in the wind, and on the other, an eagle surrounded by a wreath. Only around 2,000 were ever minted, with only a handful surviving to this day. The coin is even rarer because of its pristine condition. It is also believed to be the very first coin ever struck by the mint. The silver dollar was bought by collectors Legend Numismatics for $10 million in 2013, making it the most valuable coin ever sold. Karen Lee, an American coin expert with the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., is accompanying the silver dollar on its European tour. She explained why the flowing hair silver dollar was so rare.
They minted about 2,000, and about 1,873 went into circulation, and we believe more or less that there are 20 known now. And this one we think is super special because we believe it was the first one minted.
Lee also acknowledged the Czech connection to the dollar, namely that the name derives from the Czech tolar or taler in German, a 16th century coin which was minted in the Bohemian town of Jáchymov.
We thank you for that because you gave us the name of our coin, dollar.
During February, the flowing hair silver dollar will be embarking on an 8-nation tour. The first stop is Prague's National Museum, where it will go on display in the museum's new building until this Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. 4 years ago, this museum displayed what was then the most expensive coin in the world, namely a 1933 gold double eagle. After that, the 1794 coin travels on to Warsaw, Poland, Tallinn, Estonia, Helsinki, Finland, Stockholm, Sweden, Oslo, Norway, Dublin, Ireland, and finally London, England. Accompanying the exhibition, which is free to the public, is an original copy of the US Declaration of Independence.
Dominic Yoon with that story. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, our weekly business feature, Marketplace, with Chris Johnson.
The Czech Republic this week announced record export figures for the year 2015. Several factors were clearly at work, including the low crown policy of the Czech National Bank. But the government would also like to take some of the credit, and especially the government agency for boosting Czech companies' export performance abroad, Czech Trade. The 2015 export figure of 3.9 trillion crowns is a new record for the country, with a jump in services and goods sold abroad of just over 7% compared with 2014. That was the overwhelming good news, but a slight concern for Minister of Industry and Trade Jan Mládek was that the share of those exports heading to EU countries climbed to 84.5%. The government had been hoping to boost exports to non-EU countries, for one reason, because the profit margins for companies are often a lot higher. But the fall in oil and gas prices last year dented the purchasing power of a lot of Czech export countries outside the EU, such as Russia, Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan. The conflict in Ukraine and across some of the Middle East dented some of the prospects there as well. Czech Trade estimates that it was an intermediary for 1.3 billion crowns of Czech exports last year. That's an increase of around 28% on the 2014 figure, with nearly 1,100 Czech companies taking advantage of their offer. A key to that increased activity has been the fast transformation of the agency over recent years, with a network of 46 offices worldwide now established and more offices scheduled to be added this year in Bangalore, India, Canton, China, Lagos, Nigeria, and another office in the US to supplement the existing one in Chicago. Radomir Dolišal is the General Director of Czech Trade. I asked him, first of all, how it had broadened its offer to Czech exporters over recent years.
Originally, the Czech Trade was the agency focusing on the European market. In the last, let's say, 7-8 years, started his expansion worldwide in 5 continents. And the general, let's say, return of this investment, it's very clear here. We increase our services, the amount of the services offered to the Czech exporters, and also the quality of, say, services we can offer today.
And going forward, how do you see developments? You mentioned that you want to both expand maybe your offer to Czech companies outside Prague in the regions, and maybe also in the offices where you exist already, to try and bring more interest in for Czech companies.
Our activity in the region means to present what we are able to do for the Czech exporters, so it's more communication tool, how to sell our, I would say, most important asset abroad, it's foreign offices. And in terms of expansion, as I said, nowadays we fully focus on the expansion outside of the Europe.
Maybe coming back to the one example that was given today, Hungary. Why was such a dramatic expansion in the business in Hungary? I mean, everything's cyclical, okay? Sometimes you can get a big contract and that makes the figures go up really high, or a few big contracts. Mm. But why was it possible, say, for an example, in Hungary?
I think it's the general answer is that our offices considerably increase the amount of activities they provide, so it means they are more productive first, and they are more productive because they expanded the toolbox of their services. They brought a little bit more creativity in the game. They expanded let's say the number of special events they organize. They more focus on the market opportunities. They start to analyze more market to find these opportunities. So it means it's generally it's increase of in their daily activities.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned these supply days. Maybe you could explain a bit how these supply days work and what sort of results you're getting from them, because they're something that's quite fairly new. Yes.
I would say, yeah, the Czech Trade have, let's say, core standard activities, I mean, given by the most inquired services from on the side of the Czech exporters. But in addition, we have quite new activities like the sourcing days, you know, to bring the main, let's say, European or even worldwide players in certain industrial sectors, I would say, to here, to Czechia, and to provide them with good carton parts with certain, let's say, quality and certain capacity. I think it's they are exactly the steps that bring, let's say, new horizons in our results.
And have these been quite successful so far? So these sort of
yes. I mean, if you see the chart I presented, in generally the Czech trade doubled compared to the historical series, his output. So I think it's, I would say, in the world today, which is not, I would say, booming in terms of the performance, I think if you increase the performance by 100%, it's fine. I'm fully satisfied with the job of my colleague.
And the minister mentioned some problematic markets at the moment, Ukraine, Russia, some of the Stan countries, and maybe even the Middle East. How concerned are you that you might not be able to keep the performance up this year that you had last year?
You know, we operate in 50 countries, so we operate in a portfolio of countries. So we are able a little bit to manage the risk of some drop in some markets and by the increases in other markets. And I think it's a reality of the, I would say, the business world today. I mean, you can hardly have an increase in all the markets, but you can clearly increase your activities, and in average you manage by these portfolio countries, you can manage the general increase of your performance.
One of the stars of the Czech Trade annual results presentation last week was Tibor Bial, the head of the Budapest office for the agency. That witnessed an astonishing jump in the export opportunities it brokered last year to more than 455 million crowns from just over 8 million crowns in 2014. Mr. Bial said that the results were very much the fruit of previous initiatives and time invested in growing the presence of Czech companies on the Hungarian market.
As you know, the business success is a bit investment of time, effort, energy, and of course it comes back. So that's why the last year was, according to these statistical numbers, so successful. But I hope that this story will go on.
And were there some specific examples that you can pick out from last year, some specific results that you got from the work you've done previously that increased the success so much?
In automotive sector, we have a long-term cooperation. So we work for 1.5 years, and we have corporate agreement for this year also with company ITW, Stokvis Promi, which belongs to the big ITW group, but in Czech Republic. Public, they have their own company, factory, and they are producing mainly for the automotive industry. And with them, we are cooperating. We are trying to open the new possibilities, the new markets, new companies, new potential businesses. We are searching new projects for them, and somehow, like an advisor, we try to.
So
to
you're help. Providing Czech suppliers, or trying to provide Czech suppliers.
Of course, of course. And then we have this kind of same cooperation with companies from the gastronomy. This year, we will be on this fair Sirha, which is very popular at the moment, and there will be the European Championship of Bocuse d'Or. And we cooperate with Czech companies. Next month, we will have a direct presentation for one Czech company, XO Foods, to whom we make a cooking show and a presentation of their raw materials for the fine dining restaurants. For another industry, we can mention also with Škoda Auto, we have very good cooperation. But there are several the building industry and machinery, which is a strategical and historical industry for our cooperation.
Thank you. Radomil Doležal, the General Director of Czech Trade, ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnston. And I'm afraid it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.